No, I haven't checked. Okay, Rabbi Goldblatt, you're okay? Time. What? Sometimes I do. It depends how many people are here, what time it is. Torreway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Chof Shvat, 2nd of February, Harav Rafal, Goldblatt Shlita, Halachic Topic. This week's Shurim was sponsored by Family Moravieki, Leil Nishmas, Moros Chava, Bas, Rav Mordechai Meyer, all of Asholab, and not Rav Moshe Mordechai, as on the poster. We apologize. Whose Yotzeit is this Shabbos?
So what I'm going to speak about today is the sugya of Tevilas Kelim with a focus on electronic appliances which get damaged with Tevila and what the solutions are, how to resolve that problem, whether one needs to tovel them, how to resolve the problem of them being damaged by the Tevila, how to get out of the Chiyuv, etc. And specific example, which is the most common in my experience, is coffee machines. So, start off a little introduction. The Chiyuv of Tevilas Kelim, according to almost all Rishonim, is a Din D'oraisa, mentioned in the parasha of Klei Midyan, where the Torah says that when the Bnei Yisrael took the Kelim, they took the utensils from Midyan after the battle, they had to kasher them. And they also had to put them into a mikveh, that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, and according to almost all Rishonim, that's a Chiyuv D'oraisa. This is Midoraisa if we're talking about metal kelim, Midrabonon if we're talking about glass, and we won't go into that. There's a common misconception, which is that people think that just like kashering kelim, there's no chiyuv to kasher a keli, it's just an issa, you're not allowed to use the keli unless you have kashered it. So people think that the chiyuv of tefilas kelim is also like that, it's not that there's a mitzvah to tovel a keli, it's that you can't use a keli until you've tovled it. Now, of course, it is true that you can't tovel a keli until you've tovled it. However, you can't use a keli until you've tovled it. However, that is of course true. You're not allowed to use the keli unless you've tovled it, if it's a type of keli which is chayav in tevila. However, it's not true at least according to many achronim, it's not true that that's all one din and you have no chiyuv to tovel the keli unless you are going to use it. Even if you are not planning to use it in the near future, there's a mitzvah mutl on you to tovel the keli. The Rishonim say, the Zoroah, other Rishonim say, that the mitzvah of tefilas kelim is because the keli has come from the tumah of being in the ownership of a goy to the tara and kedusha of being in the ownership of a yid, so that keli has to be put in the mikveh. The Sefer Izzavah Hetzah Oroch, who's a Talmud of the Transadeshan, even says that it's like tefilas ger, just like a goy himself, who wants to join the Jewish nation, has to go through a mikveh, has to go through a tefillah in order to become a yid. Similarly, his kelim have to go through a tefillah to become yiddish kelim. And there are a number of rayas that this is a separate chiyuv. It's not dependent on the issa of using the keli, it's a separate chiyuv. One very simple raya, the Mishavrua in the Bialoch in Simen Shin Chof Gimel says that, although this is a machlokes, he doesn't mention the machlokes, he takes on like the opinion that although the chiyuv to tovel a keli is a din d'oraisa, as we've said, but the issa to use a keli that has not been toveled is only an issa drabonon. Now, although there are chokim on this, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah assumes. So if the issa of using the keli which has not been toveled is itself only an issa drabonon, it cannot be that the chiyuv d'oraisa to tovel the keli is only if you're going to use the keli, because you're allowed to use the keli midoraisa. According to the Mishnah Berurah, and those achronim that he's following who hold that min haTorah you are allowed to use the keli although it has not been tovel, it can't be that the whole geder of the mitzvah's tefillah, of the chiyuv to tovel the keli, is itself only, you can't use the keli and therefore you must tovel it. Like you can't use a keli which has trefus balua in it, like you can't eat an animal unless it's been shechted. You don't have a mitzvah to go and shecht every animal you own. If you're going to eat it, of course, you have to shecht it, and that itself becomes a mitzvah. But there's no mitzvah to shecht it. It's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that that's not the case when we're talking about tefilas kelim. And in fact, if you own a keli, if it's defined as a kli suda, which is the type of keli which requires tefila, you have a mitzvah on you to go and tovel it, even if you're not planning to use it in the near future. Does that mean if you don't tovel it and you give it away, you've been mevatel the mitzvah? I don't know. But the mitzvah is mutl on you from the moment you have it. Another ayah for this, In the whole sugya, which is not really what we're going to go into, but it will come in slightly, the whole sugya of borrowing kelim from goyim and borrowing kelim from other people for whom they weren't clay suda, the poskim discuss, if you're borrowing it only for temporary use, do you have to tovel it or not? And the shach says over there, but of course if you're not using it at all, you don't have to tovel it. And he doesn't say because you're not using it, he says because it remains a non-kli suda. And if you look in that whole sugya in Simon Kuvchov Siv Ches, I think it's very clear in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Poskim that this is the correct understanding. Al Kalponim, there's a mitzvah to tovel a keli that you own, a chiyuv d'oraisa to tovel a keli that you own, and either d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, you're not allowed to use that keli if you haven't toveled it. The problem is that there are certain kelim which are impossible to tovel or can potentially become damaged when we tovel them. And what we need to look for solutions. How can we can't really be yotza al chiyuv, but how can we avoid the issa of using the kelim without tvila, since we can't be mekayim the chiyuv of tvila? How can we create a situation where we are allowed to use such kelim without tvila? So nowadays that discussion is focused on electronic kelim, electrical items. And it's well known, there's a tshuva of the Chilkas Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Breish, where he suggests that things that need to be plugged in are mechubal karka, and since they're mechubal karka, they're potter. This is a big chiddush lekula. Feinstein disagrees, Rabbi Shem Zalman disagrees, the vast majority of the Achorim do not agree with this. Besides the fact that every kelim mechubal karka being potter is itself a machloikas, if it was made as a separate keli and then attached to the karka. But even besides that, to suggest that something which is plugged in and therefore when it's used has to be plugged in temporarily and then can be unplugged is called mechubal karka to such an extent that it would not have a chiyuv tefila is a big chiddush, and the vast majority of the Achorim do not rely on it. Others want to suggest that a keli that can't be tovelled just doesn't have a chiyuv tefila because the Torah never said such a thing, or at least the drabonon of using it, according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Yeshua Siakov, the drabonon of using it doesn't apply to something that can't be tovled. Again, this is a big chiddush. There's very little makor for such a thing. There is a discussion in the Achronim about kelim that could not be tovled. Now, obviously, their cases aren't, we're talking about the early Achronim now, their case is not electronic items which are damaged by tefillah. They're talking about enormous vats which physically you could not fit in a mikvah. And the Achronim discuss that, the Knesset Sagdola and Riki Vega and the Chaya Odom, they discuss with these kelim that physically could not fit into the river. If you can go to the ocean, then you can tovel them in the sea. If you can get them out again, once they're full of water, it would be quite difficult, perhaps. But if you don't live near enough to the sea to transport these enormous vats there to tovel them, what can you do? How can you use these vats? What can you do with them in order to not be over the issa of using a keli without tefila? So some Achronim say, this particular case, there are tzirufim, it's not clear they're chayev, etc. That type of approach. But in fact, there are two main approaches in the Achronim, how we can create a status on these kelim that they are potter mitzvila, and that you're allowed to use them without tovling them at all.
A
portable oven is firstly, a cater is itself a machlokas, if a cater ever needs to tovel anything, because it might be called kli schoria, but besides that, a portable oven doesn't usually come in direct contact with the food. You put something on something else into it, and although you could consider it like a lid, which causes the steam to circulate, but generally we take on that you don't need to tovel something like that. Otherwise, we would have to tovel our microwaves as well, which is the same question. Not only a cater's portable oven, a microwave is exactly the same. You put the food in it, it helps the steam circulate, and often there's metal in there as well, not only plastic, and we don't tovel them. That's a slightly different question, which is that the usage of them is not the same type of use that we're talking about. So there are two main approaches in the Achronim how to, for want of a better word, avoid the issa of using the keli without tefillah. The first mahalach, which is mentioned in the Knesset HaGdola and quoted in Vega over here, the first mahalach is that you can give it as a gift to a goy. Now, the background to this is that the Modcha says, the Beis Yosef quotes this both over here in Yeridea and in Erechaim Simon Shin Chav Gimel, that if you have a keli on Shabbos which has not been toivled, it's a machlokas if you're allowed to toivel it on Shabbos. Therefore, since one should be machmir not to toivel it on Shabbos, you should avoid the chiyuv and avoid the issa by giving it as a gift to a goy and borrowing it back. And as we know, a keli that belongs to a goy and you are borrowing it, you're allowed to use without tefillah. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. The end of Simon Kuf Chof in Yeridea and in Simon Shin Chof Gimel in Erechaim. Im Shochach v'le hitbel kli me'erev Shabbos and me'erev Yom Tov. Yitnenu loiv kechovim b'matana, give it as a gift to a goy. How you do the kinyan is another sugya. Ba'achar kach yishalenu mimenu umutu lishtamish boy. So there's a solution of giving it as a gift or selling it to a goy. So the Knesset HaGdolah of Vegas say this is our solution. For our enormous vats, we can give them as a gift to a goy and thereby avoid the chiyuv tefila. And of course it's a haroma, but haroma when there's no choice we can rely on. And that's fine, especially because, as we said, Mishnah Berurah holds, many, as some Achronim hold, we're talking about Anisah Drabonon of using it. You're not going to tovel it anyway, so that's a good solution.
And would you have to tovel it on Sunday?
Right. So, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says about Shabbos. Mikveig and the Knesset HaGdolah say, based on that, okay, you can't tovel, apply the same solution. The problem is that the Taz says on that Shulchan Aruch that this is only Haitikuna Enoi Ela Lefi Shor. This is only a short-term solution. Taz says, and Kvega disagrees, but the Taz says that this suggestion in the Modcha and the Shulchan Aruch that you can avoid Chiyuv Tefillah by giving it to a goy and borrowing it back was only ever said by the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch as a short-term solution. What's the difference? Why should it be only short-term and not long-term? In his case, doesn't need to be more than short-term, so why would you do a Haroma for more than short-term? But the Taz says more than that. The Taz says no. This is only acceptable short-term for two reasons. Number one, the Gemara says that if you take a mashkin from a goy for a choyv, a goy owes you money and he gives you some of his kelim as a mashkin. If it's clear to you that he's not intending to pay the debt back, and therefore once the debt is due, you will end up owning these kelim, although you don't own them yet, you're not allowed to use them without tefillah. The Gemara says that sofo lehishoka biyad Yisrael, if you have some sort of right to use it, which the type of mashkin we're talking about you're allowed to use, if you have a right to use it and you know you are going to get full ownership in the end, then the Gemara says you're not allowed to use it without tefillah. Says the Taz, that's not only because it's going to become yours in Bailus, even if you're just borrowing it, but you know you're borrowing it forever until the end of the use of the keli. You're not borrowing it for a short while and then going to give it back, because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when in fact it belonged to you and you want it to belong to you. You just have a problem which you're avoiding by giving it to a goy. Says the Taz, kiven sheishtaka ulomis biyad Yisrael, have a kolokuach biyodoy. It definitely, if you're borrowing it long term, you cannot rely on the heter of giving it to an akum. Second reason the Taz says, we know from Hilchas Tzitzis, Hilchas Tzitzis, Hilchas Mezuzah, Hilchas Erevin, all sorts of places, we know that if you borrow something for 30 days, if you borrow something for 30 days or more, midrabonon, that's considered like ownership. The Taz understands that that isn't a separate din of Talis She'ula, etc. That's a specific din that anything borrowed for more than 30 days, midrabonon, is as if it's yours. And therefore, for this reason as well, the Taz says, you cannot borrow it for more than 30 days without tovening it. So the Taz says, for two different reasons, that the Mechaba and the Modcha, who said that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can give away a keli to a goy to avoid the Chiyuv Tevila, would not have said it long term. According to the first reason, would not have said it because you're going to keep it. According to the second reason, even if you genuinely went and borrowed a goy's keli for 30 days, the Taz would hold you need to tovel it. So, Lemaisa, although the Knesset HaGdolah and Rikki Vega suggest this solution of giving it to a goy as a long-term way out of toveling these enormous vats, which otherwise you can't tovel, the poskim take on that at least lechatchile, if there's any alternative, we should look for other solutions, because the Taz, and we don't know of any clear choluk except these achronim, the Taz says that this solution does not apply long-term, and the Modcha and the Shulchan Aruch only said it short-term. There is an alternative suggestion. There are in fact two alternative suggestions based on this Mahalach, with the approach of the Knesset HaGdolah, which is that you avoid the Chiyuv Tefillah by making it into a keli that belongs to a goy. Shlomo Zalman and the Maril Diskin say, L'chora, just like if you borrow a keli from a goy, you don't have to tovel it. Similarly, if you take a keli that is hefka, and it doesn't become yours when you pick it up, you say clearly, I'm not now taking ownership, I'm going to... this keli remains hefka and I will continue using it, that would also, l'chora, misvora, be an exemption from chiyuv tefila. It doesn't belong to a yid. The whole chiyuv tefila is because it belongs to a yid. If it doesn't, it's not chayv.
Well, you take it into your house and use it.
But you said clearly, I'm not going to own it. So the Maral Diskin said, it clearly is not true. How do I know it's not true? Because the Mechaba, in two places, as we've said, says that if you haven't tovled the keli before Shabbos, give it to a goy. I have a better solution, he says. Just be mafkir it. Call a few yidnin, say I'm being mafkirit, and then start using it. Why is that not a solution? So the Maral Diskin said that this is far too much of a haroma. To give it to a goy and borrow it back, although we know that this arrangement is only being done to exempt it from tefillah, and really it was yours, and really you probably think it's still yours, but the theory of the arrangement could exist, but to take a keli that belongs to you, say you're being mafkir, and then continue using it, that just doesn't work. In theory, in kinyonim, you could say it's not yours, but lemaisa, it doesn't work. Shem Zalman said, based on this, why does the Maral Diskin say that being mafkir a keli and then using it doesn't work? Because it was yours, you said you're being mafkir it, and then you take it back and you start using it. If, however, says Shem Zalman, you never owned it, you find a keli that's hefka, and you pick it up, and you say, I'm not taking ownership now, and you pick it up and take it home, then perhaps the Maral Diskin would agree that even though it's hefka, you could use it without tefillah. Therefore, says Shem Zalman, here we have a different solution. When you buy the keli, when you buy the coffee machine or whatever it is, stipulate that you, although you're buying it, you're not taking ownership, and then you can use it. Because in that case, it isn't the same level of haroma as if it was yours already. Right, so Shem Zalman said this as a short-term solution. Shem Zalman said this about a case of somebody who couldn't access a mikveh for a week, he needed a keli, he's on holiday, something like that. Shem Zalman didn't say this about a long-term solution. And although in theory there perhaps isn't a difference, possibly the first reason of the Taz would apply here as well. The second reason of the Taz, which is if you're borrowing something for 30 days, if it's yours, probably doesn't apply to Hefka. But the first reason of the Taz, which is that something that will remain lo'olam in your control, even if it's not in your possession, it's not in your ownership, possibly that will apply to Hefka as well. Shem Zalman does not say this explicitly, but his case is talking about short-term, and I don't know that he ever said that you can rely on it long-term.
In Shem Zalman's case, would I be allowed to steal it from him?
Right, that, and the other problem, not steal. You're not stealing.
I mean, to take it.
Right, so you stand in the shop, you order something from Amazon, when the delivery driver arrives, you tell him, this is not going to be mine, put it down, but it's not going to be mine. So then he'll say, okay, puts it down, and then takes it back to his van and keeps it. And you have no right to protest. If you did, you're Megala that you never really meant that it was Hefka. And similarly, anyone who wants can walk into your house and walk off with your
Kenyan. Can a goy make a Kenyan?
Yeah, a goy can make a Kenyan. Yeah. Otherwise, there couldn't be a concept of Gezalak. So Shem Zalman's solution, for two reasons, is only short-term. One possibly halachic and one practical. The halachic is that Shem Zalman only said it short-term, although I don't know whether he said beferish, you can't do it long-term, but potentially the Taz's first reason, that something that will always remain under your control is considered yours, even if you don't own it, may also apply to Hefka, I'm not sure. But the second reason, which is a practical reason, which is that if it's Hefka and you never intend to buy it, and you've clearly been megala das that you don't want to own it, what that means is that somebody else can just walk off with it. There's a third similar solution. This is all still in the first category of the solutions of avoiding ownership. The third, which is much more genuine and therefore much more acceptable. We've said that if you give a keli to a goy and borrow it back, although some achronim do suggest this for a keli that can't be toivled, it's clearly not lechatchila because the Taz disagrees. The fact is that you don't actually need the goy to own it and you borrow it back. It's equally good, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a shutfus with a goy in a keli and he also owns part of it, that's the same. If a goy owns a keli and you borrow it, it's not chayvin tefillah. If you have a keli b'shutfus with a goy, also you don't need to toivel it, you're allowed to use it. Meaning you're applying your ownership rights and you're also using his rights of ownership because you're effectively borrowing it from him during the time you're using it. You're taking your time of usage of this keli, but that's also a keli that belongs partially to a goy and therefore is potter. So to take a keli and give a goy a kinyan in half of it would be the same as giving him a kinyan in all of it. Why did the Shulchan Aruch say give it as a matana to a goy? I don't know, probably just because it's exactly the same. If you have a situation where you can create a shutfus with a goy which is relatively genuine, which is not a full-fledged harama, then l'choira, that would be a good solution over here. So if someone, for example, has a goy who lives in his house or comes regularly and, as far as he knows, will be coming regularly for the next several years, and this goy will also want to make a coffee every now and again, rather than telling the goy, you're allowed to use my coffee machine whenever you want, you can say to the goy, here, I'm giving you a gift, ownership of 10% of this, and the goy remains a shutuf, and whenever the goy is using it, the goy is using his own ownership. In that situation, l'chore, it's not a haroma. Because since the goy actually does come into your house and use his ownership rights, his shutfus in it, although you could have created that usage without giving him a kinyan, and normally you wouldn't. The fact is that he owns 10%, you own 90%, he uses it a couple of times a week, you use it every day, and that's perfectly acceptable, it's part of mitzvina. However, if this will only remain viable, it will only remain a non-haroma solution and only work lefi the taz, as long as that's genuine. If the goy stops coming, you have a cleaner who comes in every day or a few times a week and uses the coffee machine, and you change cleaner to someone else, then l'chore it reverts to being the same level of haroma as having given it to the goy in the first place. The second solution, the second type of solution, which is mentioned in the Poskim, is a chiddush of the Chochmas Odom. Again, speaking about the enormous vats which don't fit into any mikveh, Chochmas Odom says he has a solution. This keli was made and owned by a goy, and that's why it's chayv in tefillah. All you need to do is drill a hole in the bottom. The keli is now totally unusable, because it's only a keli, it's a kli that's only ever used for liquids. It's totally unusable, even if it's only a small hole. You then repair it yourself, or even get a goy to fix it, but you give him the metal, and therefore it's done when it's bebailus Yisrael. And thereby it becomes potter mitzvah. The keli became ois keli, it became a non-keli in the interim. It was repaired when it was in the ownership of Yid in a way that doesn't create a chi of tefillah. And therefore, says the Chochmas Odom, that will remain potter. Some achronim disagree, some of them because it could be used for other things, some completely disagree because the fact is at the end of the day most of it was made by Yid. There are points to disagree with this, but that's the solution of the Chochmas Odom, that if you have a keli that needs tefillah, and you can't tovel it, you can create an exemption by making it a non-keli, by disabling it, and then when you repair it, in his case by adding new metal, it doesn't revert to the chi of tefillah, it now becomes a kli that was made by Eid. So as Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv, based on this, if you have electrical items, they are talking about electrical items that have a chi of tefillah, but you're concerned that they will be damaged, many electrical items are not damaged through tefillah, though they do void the warranty, probably, yes. But this solution will also void the warranty. If you have an electrical item that may become damaged through tefillah, just like a coffee machine, for example, which someone called me quite recently, that they did try tovelling it, and it did become damaged, so I don't think it's worth trying. If you have such a keli, you can disable it, and after you've disabled it, repair it, and then it became a keli when it was the Adistra. So Rilashev says you can't just take the plug off. Rilashev says you can't just take the plug off. Because although physically the keli will not work when you've taken the plug off, but that he considers something external, and therefore although practically speaking it won't work, the kli is still shalim, and that's not good enough. What they both say, Shem Zaman and Rilashev, Shem Zaman doesn't say explicitly taking the plug off doesn't work, but he seems to assume so, because that's not what he says to do, is that you should dismantle the keli and then reassemble it. However, they add a new condition. This is not mentioned in the Chochmas Odom. The Chochmas Odom is talking about making a hole in the keli and then repairing it by adding new metal. Therefore, the kli was just not a keli. Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv, since they're not talking about changing parts of the keli, they're talking about dismantling it and reassembling it, they say it's only considered a non-keli when you've dismantled it if you would need an uman to repair it. Just like in Hilchos Shavuos, something that was connected, you take it apart and put it back together, is only makah bepatish if you need a masa uman, etc. There's a whole discussion, there's a Rambam in Hilchos Kelim, lots of makoros that they bring for this. A kli that is fully assembled, you then dismantle it and put it back together, is only a solution, according to Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv, if it requires an uman to put it back together again. You don't need the uman to take it apart, but you need an uman to put it back together again, because otherwise it remained a keli. If you take apart the two parts of something just screwed together, you unscrew it and screw it back, that's meaningless. You haven't made it a non-keli. All you've done is taken apart the parts and then put them back together again, which is meaningless. Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv both say that if you require an uman to put the keli back together, then by dismantling it, it becomes a non-keli because you would require a professional to repair it, and then the professional repairs it, he has remade the keli, so if that's a yid, that will be fine. Even if it's not a yid, because it's now Bebailus Yisrael that it's being made. So, with electronic items, said Rav Shlomo Zalman, take it to an electrician, he should take it apart, he can then repair it for you, and once he's repaired it, it becomes part of mitzvah. The issue with coffee machines...
So the electrician has to be a yid?
No, because it's now Bebailus Yisrael, and he's not adding material that belonged to him. So once it's owned by a yid, then if it's being now made, it doesn't have to be a yid.
You don't mean repair it, you mean reassemble it?
Reassemble it. Yeah, but halachically he's defining it as repairing. Mm-hmm. because it needed an Uman to fix it. It's as if it's broken, and therefore it's now being repaired, it's now being made usable, so that's Potter. Coffee machines, the Metzias of coffee machines, is in most coffee machines the only metal that's in them. Sometimes they have external appliances that are metal, which you can toggle separately, that's not difficult. The metal that's in them that creates a chiyuv tefila is usually only the heating capsule. So the water is pumped in through a valve, it goes through the pipes, goes into a heating capsule where it's heated, and then it continues out to come out at the other end. So the heating capsule is made of metal. So what do you need to do in order to disable the keli? If you want to take it to a professional, and he should dismantle it and then reassemble it, and there are people locally who will do this for people, for a small charge, I think. If you want to dismantle it, reassemble it, what do you need to do? Now, you don't need to break the heating capsule, that's for sure, because the heating capsule, if it was removed from the appliance, from the machine, would be unusable. It has a hole in the bottom, it only works at all because it has pipes attached to it. However, the keli as a whole has in it a metal component which is functional, and therefore the keli as a whole, l'chore, is chayav tefila. Some people want to say that the heating capsule, because it's balua inside the keli, is not chayav tefila. I don't know makor for this. Balua, as far as I know, means that you can tovel it, although the water doesn't get there, and even that is debatable whether it applies over here. But that wouldn't be an exemption from tefila. However, to dismantle the keli, all you need to do is open it up and take it apart inside. You don't need to actually break the heating capsule. The issue is what I was told by one of the people locally who does this. The question is, and this perhaps will remain a question, the question is that you don't need a Maisa Uman to reassemble the piping and put it back on the heating capsule. Open up the keli, take the casing off, disassemble the internal workings, not actually pull out the heating capsule because that will be soldered in, but take the piping off and mean that the keli is totally non-functional. That, you don't need an Uman to do the second part. You only need an Uman to take off the casing and put the casing back on. The casing is held in by clips. They don't want it to come off unless it needs significant repairs. And the casing is held in by clips that you can only remove if you have the right tools and you know how to apply them and where to apply them. So you need an Uman to take off the casing. Once the casing is off, the kli will not work. But the reason it won't work is because there's a safety function built in that they don't want it to work when the stuff inside is exposed. So all you've done when you take the casing off effectively is it's as if you've taken off the plug. You've disabled the electrics, you haven't disabled the keli. Then to take off the pipe from the capsule is itself not a Maisa Uman. You can only access the pipes and the heating capsule if you are an Uman, but when you have this keli which has the casing off, which an Uman has taken off, I myself could take the pipe off and put it back on without an issue. So the question, which I don't know, I've spoken to local Rabbonim, some believe it is a solution, some believe it's not. The question is, when you need an Uman to access the thing you need to disable and to replace the casing afterwards so it will work, but not to do the actual work itself, is that dismantled by an Uman, or is that or not, and therefore does it create a Patur over here? The Maisa bottom line, most of the Rabbanim I've discussed it with believe that this is a solution, and there definitely is no option of tovling them, as far as I know. And therefore, bottom line, what we come out with is as follows. The best solution, if you have a genuine way of creating a shutfus with a goy who will be using it, there's no haram involved in that l'chayra, and that's l'chayra perfectly fine. If you can't do that, I believe that it's the solution of giving it to someone to dismantle and reassemble, although there's a little question remaining on it, is the best solution available. If you're not willing to do that because it will invalidate your warranty, presumably, I'm pretty sure it must do, then the only solution is to either apply Rishon Mezalman's Heta of not having in mind when you're koneh that it should become yours, which, as we've said, there are issues with, or don't go with the Taz, rely on the Knesset HaGdola and give it to a goy and use it that way long term, although, as we've said, the Taz and many Achronim say that that is not ideal and maybe not even acceptable.
Turn off this one. Sorry. Yeah, turn it off.